Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for university, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's football team? Or raise funds for a small business, a charity, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello and welcome to Baseball America's Draft Podcast. Happy New Year. It's our first show of 2026. I'm Carlos Glazo, joined as usual, but sadly for not much longer, Peter Flaherty. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you? Other than my voice, I'm like playing a little hurt. But yeah. Other than my voice, I'm doing great.
Yeah, you had a college podcast earlier in the week. I think your voice is on the improvement from that podcast. So I'm glad that you're feeling okay, even if your voice is still catching up to how you're feeling. But Peter, I guess we can't really bury the lead here before we get into the show. This is going to be your last draft podcast, and it's very bittersweet for me, but excited for you. Peter has taken a job with the Nationals as a Northeast area scout. So congratulations and apologies to all of our listeners who have really grown fond of just hearing you absolutely dial in on players and break them down for us on the show. So congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you so much. And I certainly would not be even remotely close to this position if it wasn't for you and Jacob and JJ and Jeff, Ben, Mark, Matt, Eddie, Josh Norris, Dan, everyone at Baseball America. So I am abundantly thankful and endlessly grateful for all you guys. And as I said yesterday, I love everyone at BA so much, and I think everyone can echo the sentiment of everyone feels so much closer to a friend than a colleague or just a work, I guess, compatriot. Like, you know, even in our Slack channel, like talking about football or just general random minutia, it's such a blast every single day. And I've learned so much on the evaluating side from you, the reporting side from Jacob and JJ, the writing side from Mark and Dan, from taking on the Herculean task of editing my work. So it's like everyone has played such a huge part in getting to where I am today. And I'm just so beyond thankful for it and really, really lucky. I'll never really know what I did to deserve it. But I am so grateful. And as far as the draft pod goes, maybe some people will miss me, but they're in more than great hands with you at the helm. And so, I mean, it's weird. Like I said yesterday, I will like soon be returning to subscriber and listener status now with BA. But only this time around, I get to bug you and Jacob and Jeff and everyone else via text message instead of like just thinking about it myself. So
it'll be fun. You can join the legions of scouts who listen and then send me a text if I say something stupid about a player or something wrong. You can correct me from afar. And hopefully we can get you a comp subscription too. I think you've more than earned that. But no, Peter, it's been a blast. I really have enjoyed doing this podcast with you over the years. 2023 was your first year coming on where we kind of did this thing regularly. And prior to that, we didn't really have a consistent draft only podcast. So I think the existence of the show and just the frequency of it, a lot of credit has to go to you for coming on here and just helping me do that all the time. Cause I know when I started at BA, one of the things I wanted to do was a draft podcast, but I did a few where I kind of monologued by myself for a while. And I'm sure that was not exactly entertaining audio to people, and it's very hard to do. I still don't really understand how those folks who do single kind of just talking to themselves to the camera for 30 plus minutes every week, or even with more frequency than that, how they do it. So it's been a blast. I feel like just the back and forth that we have talking through players in real time here on the show has given me a better perspective on a lot of players. I think the product of our draft list and our draft rankings, and obviously the underclass stuff that you're doing basically on your own, I'm not nearly as much help to you on those as you have been to me on our just main draft list. So you will definitely be missed, but I also am super excited to put on a Nationals cap and root for you and whoever the players that you're going to be able to scout, and hopefully you'll get some players that you get signed in year one. That would be great. I think from the outside looking in, even before this news, I think the moves and all the changes in Washington were really interesting to see from afar. And now it feels like I've got a more vested interest in the operation there. And I'll also say too, you are continuing a legacy of BA members moving to the pro side that I really have messed up over the last few years. I feel like the draft role for a number of years was kind of a turnstile of people who did this job for a year, for a few years, and then moved into the scouting ranks. And you're kind of ending the BA slump that I've really started the last 8 years. So kudos to you for keeping that going, Peter. While we hate to lose talent to the big leagues, it still is kind of cool to think, hey, teams want to hire people who work for us. So it's all to your credit.
Yeah, no, it'll be a fun and exciting new chapter. And to your point, I could not be more fired up about the direction in which the Nationals are headed and the conglomerate of elite baseball minds that have been established over the course of the last few months, starting at the top in the front office and trickling down into the scouting department. It's an unbelievable group of people, and I'm so excited to just essentially be a sponge and learn from everyone and contribute however I can. So very exciting, and look forward to get going.
Yeah. All right. Well, for this episode of the Draft Podcast, I kind of just want to look ahead generally to the 2026 class and just kind of feel out where you're at with the class at this point. Talk about like my thoughts on the class at this point, just kind of get us primed and ready for the start of the season. A lot of preseason draft meetings are happening this month. We're doing a lot of our preview preseason content as well. We're going to get rolling here before we know it in terms of games on the ground. And I feel like I've reached this point weeks and weeks ago, but I'm really itching to get out on the field and see some players. So kind of wanted to take stock of where we think this class is going to be looking ahead. And then also maybe towards the end of the show, we can maybe think through and talk through like kind of how our process has changed or evolved, or some of the lessons we've learned from previous draft classes. This would have been your fourth draft? Okay. And for me, I think 2017, 18 would have been the first few years. I don't really know how many that is off the top of my head, but near 10. But just how excited are you about the 26 class? Because I feel like the more I dig into players, the more conversations I've had with scouts and evaluators over this offseason, and the more I'm just kind of like lining guys up and trying to contextualize them with previous drafts, this is a really good class. Myself and Ben, we talked about specifically the high school pitchers on the most recent Future Projection podcast. That should be out right now if you want to listen to that specifically. But like this high school pitching class is great. One of the best years we've had in a long time. And I feel like that maybe goes under the radar a little bit, because the highest ranked high school pitcher we have in the class doesn't come on the board until 18. And I think that's just because the hitters in this class are so good as well. Like the depth of college hitters at the top of the class. I know I've been a little bit of a stickler and maybe a little bit too critical of some of the flaws that we have with some of the hitters at the top, but like the depth of the middle premium position college hitters is really impressive. The depth of high school hitters at premium positions as well is really impressive. The tools that we have, the performance, like the track record of performance we have with players at the top, like Grady Emerson feels like he would have been a really solid, maybe even the favorite to be 1-1 if he was in last year's class. Rock Chalowski is the best 1-1 we've had in this position since, I think, at least Adley Rutschman. I feel pretty confident in saying that at this stage, Rock feels more locked into 1-1 status as any player since 2019, when it was like Adley Rutschman's spot to lose. So when you add it all up, and then also all three of the top college arms, Liam Peterson, Cameron Fluke, and Jackson Flora, like they all seem like they're at least in the same tier as like Hagan Smith, Chase Burns, Trey Savage at this time prior to their draft year. So really it feels like just a well-rounded, deep, impactful class across the board, maybe one of the best we've seen in a few years.
Yeah, I think every year post-draft, I get a feeling of excitement because you get a new group of players to bear down on.
Yeah.
So you get that initial excitement, and you know, throughout my time at BA, it's, you know, sometimes it will wear off a little bit, sometimes it won't, sometimes I'll only get more excited. I think with the group of 2026s, I've only grown to like the class more and share in your sentiment. I think that there's really impressive depth throughout, but there's a lot of talent at the top, and you hit the nail on the head. The premium position depth and guys that fit the bill of, you know, an up the middle profile with loud tools. There are a number of players that fit that mold. And then you flip over to the pitching side and you kind of have this, no pun intended, you have this arms race up at the top for who's going to be the top college arm off the board. And then the high school pitching depth behind it, which on our rankings at BA start in the mid teens, but then it's this run of really, really impressive high school arms where it's like, you know, pick your poison. I think that there's something for everyone in there, kind of a dealer's choice type of deal. But no, I think just in looking up and down the board and even stretching beyond, you know, the top 30 or the first round or so numbers wise, just on the ranking, like, you know, there are a lot of guys that I really like in the second, third, fourth, you know, even potential fifth round guys, according to the rankings. I think that, you know, there's a lot of talent throughout the draft. And I think that there are going to be a lot of organizations who get a lot better.
The one thing that stands out to me in contrast to last year's draft is just the volume of college hitters that I'd expect to go at the top. I mean, looking back to last year's class, I mentioned this again on the Future Prediction podcast, so apologies if you're listening to both and you're hearing it twice, but last year we didn't have a college hitter come off the board until Iva Arquette at number 7 with the Marlins. And just, I don't know if you remember immediately offhand, but how many college hitters would you guess right now, Peter, went top 30 last year?
Top 30 in last year's class. You posing it makes it seem like it's a leading question a little bit, so I'm going to err on the side of being conservative. Iva went to the Marlins. Gavin Keelan went to the Giants. Ike Irish went to the Orioles.
Yep.
4. I think I'm
a couple. A little more, but I definitely did lead you. So there's 7. It was Iva Arquette, Gavin Keelan, who you mentioned, Merrick Houston, 16, to the Twins, Ethan Conrad to the Cubs at 17, Ike Irish, 19, Andrew Fisher, 20, and then Jace LaViolette, 27. 7 of the top 30 feels extremely low to me. And currently, just on our rankings, we have 15 of the top 30 are college hitters. And then half of our top 10, 5 players inside the top 10 are college hitters. Rock Chalowski, obviously. Then we also have Derek Curiel, Justin LeBron, Sawyer Strohsnyder, AJ Gracia. So I feel like whatever your expectations are for next year's draft, I feel very confident in saying that we will have more than 7 college hitters taken inside the top 30 next year. I feel confident that we're going to have multiple college hitters taken inside the top 10. 1 is very, very low inside the top 10 for any draft class. And that is like the demographic that everyone wants at the top. You want, or for the most part, teams want to get hitters they feel confident with at the very top of the draft. And a lot of the times, if you can feel confident about a college hitter, all the better. You just have less projection, less risk, more data and just ways to feel confident in the performance, better competition during the spring. So it's just a very good draft class all around with a headliner at the top. I mean, maybe we'll look back at this draft in 5, 6, 7 years and say, man, do you remember how well we were talking about that class? No one really panned out. Like, the 2018 class. I compared this one on future projection as well because it was such a good high school pitching class. But it is just funny sometimes how you can talk really positively about a draft class before the draft and then things change, players get hurt, players don't pan out. So I guess we'll see. But the point you mentioned at the start of this about how you're excited that we get a fresh group of players each year to dive through, like the talent of this group this year has me excited. I can't wait to see like who's going to go out and perform, how these position battles are going to be settled and resolved. And also after doing prospect handbook section, not having to write the same player year after year after year, that always is just refreshing about the draft side. So
yeah, it is nice going from handbook mode where it's like at times it can feel a little redundant and like right. You're writing about or reading about the same player for
right.
It feels like an endless
like, this guy hasn't graduated yet.
To going back to the amateur side, but no, I'm with you. I think, you know, that's what makes it so fun. I think baseball especially so fun is you never really know. Baseball, at least compared to the NFL or the NBA or, you know, even the NHL, like, you know, you can feel as confident as you can in a, mm-hmm. in a player or a pitcher. And, you know, you don't really know at the end of the day. So it'll be interesting to see how everyone pans out.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see how the class takes shape over the next 6 months. I'm with you, though, that at least right now it feels pretty, I guess, relatively safe to say that there will be more than 7 college hitters that go inside the first 30 picks. Like,
yeah.
I feel like more hitters right now on the college side are closer to potentially playing their way into the top 10 than they are playing their way outside of the first round. Like there are guys in the who rank in the mid teens right now, like Chris Akopian and Drew Burris, who at the end of the day could end up going inside the top 10. And I don't think a whole lot of people would be super surprised by that.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see how it all comes together and how it all takes shape and, you know, just how far up, teams will consider snagging a high-end high school arm or, you know, how the college pitching class takes shape. I think compared to last year's class, there are a lot of fun, I guess, subplots to follow within the class. So it makes it all the more fun to follow.
Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records in the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off of your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura's online security capabilities have allowed me to feel safe when it comes to my online presence. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal. It is a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep logins safe, and spam call protection to cut off scammers. Aura also scans the dark web for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, and passwords, and notifies you instantly if they're exposed. Aura also removes what is already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
Yeah, well, while we still have you on Team BA, and I can ask you this question, who is your Kate Anderson this year, who we have ranked outside the top 30, who you think has a chance to push into the first round? Like, do you have one sleeper? Do you have one last personal cheese ball player you're a fan of? I know Ben's guy seems to be at this point Tegan Kuhns, right-handed pitcher out of Tennessee, the stuff he has, and just the body that he has and his ability to spin the ball. It wouldn't shock me at all if he pushed himself up into the first round. I feel like a player that I've really come to like quite a bit, who I could see pushing higher this spring, is Eric Booth Jr. Out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Just tool shed, fast, power, center field profile. He could be a guy who moves up. Is there anyone that you're particularly excited about that maybe is not at the front of draft fans' minds at the top of the board right now that you think has a chance to rise?
Yes. I mean, he isn't a super deep sleeper, and right now he ranks like right at the back of the top 30, but I don't know if he's necessarily on the front of draft Knicks' minds because, you know, the star power at the top is getting a lot of love. But I really like Lucas Moore from Louisville.
Okay.
I gave some love to him yesterday on the college pod, or 2 days ago rather, on the college pod. And he's a hit first, really excellent defender and center field type of guy, like prototypical straw that stirs the drink atop the order, really polished hit tool, good barrel skills, sprays line drives all over the field and can really go and get it in center. He's got double plus speed. And he also knows how to use it. He's not just kind of this raw free runner. The instincts are really good with Lucas. Mm-hmm. There's range to either gap, comfortable coming in on the baseball, uses it really well on the base paths. I think that one guy who he's a little bit similar in archetype to is Enrique Bradfield. Enrique was and is a faster runner and a better defender. That's not a knock on Lucas. It's just
this guy with two 80s.
Yeah, I was gonna say those are
not too bad if you're outsped and out defended by the guy with two 80s on his card.
Yeah, so those are two those aren't a knock on Lucas, but he's a little bit in the mold of Enrique in that regard. So I don't know how high up the board he'll be able to play himself, like how high a profile like that will go. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's kind of a ceiling as to where, you know, you'll select someone like that. But, you know, if he goes in the first round, it wouldn't really surprise me at all. Another guy that is kind of an easy player comp to Lucas is Stephen Kwan.
Yeah, I was wondering how often he was going to get that comp throughout the process.
Yeah, I feel like he's very similar to Stephen Kwan. He's probably more similar to Stephen Kwan than he is Enrique Bradfield, actually. Mm-hmm. He might have a little bit more thump than Enrique, but nonetheless, he's a bat first center fielder who can impact the game on both sides of the ball. So he's a lot of fun tools. There's some loudness there. He's just a very fun player. I've always enjoyed watching him.
A few other guys down the board that I'm pretty enamored with at this stage and could see rising this year. Landon Tomei, we have him currently at 61, shortstop out of Illinois. Obviously, the son of Hall of Fame first baseman Jim Tomei, but I think he just has the hitting chops that it wouldn't surprise me if he moved up the board with a strong spring. It's bat speed. It's a lot of impressive power. Even if he's not like a long-term shortstop, I think he can do enough for you at the position now that with some improvement, maybe he could stick there. Different body type and look than his father, obviously, but man, his hands are really, really impressive. And just the bat speed impact and impact he's able to generate, I think is impressive. James Clark, kind of right beside him, a shortstop out of California, is another one that I could see some teams being extremely high on, maybe higher than we have him on the board right now. Two maybe more like polarizing offensive profiles that I wouldn't necessarily like say like I would be confident in these, but it wouldn't shock me if they moved up. They're just really interesting profiles, and I think similar shades at both the college and high school levels. But Miles Bailey at Florida State, if he can make I don't know, like 10%, 20% more contact this year compared to what he did just previously. Like his power is monstrous. Some of the very best raw power that you'll see, some of the best power in the class. We have him in like the Nolan Schubart range right now. And I think that makes sense given some of the contact questions and swing and miss. But if he is able to add a little bit more contact, this spring, I could see people like buying that bat in the first round, like if he's able to make substantial improvements. On the high school side, Dominic Santarelli out of Wisconsin, LSU commit, 6'1", 220 pounds, probably a little bit bigger than that. Like, he has a case for the best raw power in the high school class. He had a few really impressive showings last summer and some big events. I know people are very enamored with his power upside as well. I've already heard top of the scale raw power for Santarelli, and like some of the most impressive that scouts have seen in several years. So those are two like huge, I don't know if I would say they're both boom bust, because Dominic Santarelli, I do think, has some pretty impressive feel for hitting. But in terms of like raw power impact, if you really are looking for a potential middle of the lineup bat who can carry an offense, like those are two hitters with massive power to dream on. So if they have good springs, they could, I could easily see them moving up from the 80 to 100 bucket we have them in now.
Yeah, big time. Miles Bailey, it's long been the question with him, with his hit tool and how much contact he'll make. It's not the end all be all, but over the summer across a 9-game sample on the Cape, I think he ran almost a 50% K rate, homered once.
50% K rate is crazy.
Yeah. Granted, it was in a 32 at bat sample. He went 7 for 32, struck out 15 times. The power with him is probably the best of anyone in the class, or like, you know, you could very reasonably or very easily argue it.
It's currently doing the annual contact chase power plot for all the college hitters, and like he unsurprisingly is off in a section of his own on the list. And like, it really is like the Nolan Schubart, Dakota Jordan sort of range of raw power. It's not quite Jack Caglione's power at the same stage his draft year. Like, Jack had like a ridiculous 113 plus 90th percentile EV, and I think maybe that is boosted because of the way Florida tracks data. Like, the sample for Jack was always quite a bit smaller than a number of other players, so maybe that was inflated a bit just due to some small sample noise. But either way, like, since we've been doing that exercise, his power stacks up with the absolute top end college sluggers of the last 3 or 4 years. And I mean, you don't really need a spreadsheet to tell you that when you see the home runs he hits at the ballpark.
Yeah, it'll be, I mean, when he squares one up and he gets one good and gets his A swing off, it's you know, it's as impressive as you'll see at the amateur level, just in terms of power. It'll be very interesting to see and follow how slash if his hit tool evolves over the spring, and you know, if it's kind of par for the course, where that'll end up slotting him on the board at the end of the day, and how much that'll, you know, potentially compensate his power, how much his power will potentially compensate for his lack of hit tool. So it's, you know, you're on the money, I think, with him being a pretty polarizing guy throughout the cycle.
Yeah. Any other names?
I'm trying to think and just go through and scroll through the board. I like Cade Lewis at Wake Forest, really smooth, low effort swing from the left side, good feel to hit. All the Georgia Tech hitters, really, for the most part. That's a really exciting group. Aiden Robbins at Texas, I love. I know I'm just kind of rattling off names and not going super in depth, but those are some guys that are sort of towards the back half of the BA top 100 right now that I like a good bit. Aiden Robbins especially, I think he's really interesting.
Yeah, he definitely feels like a guy that maybe could be a little bit higher than where you have him at the moment. His better ball data is pretty impressive as well. Okay, well, Peter, we're getting towards the end of the show here. I am curious, like, you've been here for a few years now. I'm curious, like, how your process has evolved, like, if there are any, like, big lessons learned from doing this for a few years. I feel like for me, especially since we started putting grades on players, the biggest improvement that at least I hope that I've learned to make is just being able to better contextualize amateur players within the broader prospect universe. I think being able to do the prospect handbook each year and also just have a hand in our prospect rankings at the pro level in a smaller capacity, but still helping out with the pro side a little bit, just kind of gives you the context that I think you do need. The first few years, I would often find myself really falling in love with the players who stood out against their peer group. And I think going a little bit overboard in terms of my specific personal opinions on like upside potential. And even if you, I think if you look back at the first few seasons where we put out tool grades on players, there was definitely an adjustment period that I needed to make in terms of the amount of sixes we had on hit tools in the 2021 draft class. I think was far more aggressive than I would have liked to be with the benefit of hindsight. And just, I think having to put some big offensive grades on players and say like, okay, like, yeah, maybe within the context of this class, those grades make sense. But when you're also thinking about the elite hitting prospects that are months away from being at the major league level, probably want to back down on those. So I think I've gotten more conservative as a grader personally, and hopefully that is for the better. I know there are some people who have different opinions on like, you should use the whole scale. Like you want to have big grades to indicate separation at this level. So like you can have different opinions on it, but I think those are the adjustments I've made in the last few years. And I do think that like, because we've gotten more aggressive on actually putting those numbers on players deep down the list, and then having multiple years where you can look back and say, hey, how far off on this were you? Were you correct on this? Like having the number down in the first place, I think does help the feedback process in the future. So I'm glad we're doing that. And I'm hoping to expand the grades we put on players this year. Unfortunately, I guess I told you about that and you were like jumping ship. You wanted no part in doing that with me. So, well, I'm curious what your takeaways or biggest realizations or areas of growth might be that you'll use for the future and for this draft class.
Yeah, no, I mean, I came in to be a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I mean, how could you not? So, I will say
you on day one had a far greater feel for the evaluation side of things than I did on day one. So don't say yourself too short, Mr. Humble.
No. I mean, but I think year over year, there have been little aha and light bulb moments mm-hmm. sprinkled throughout. But I think just as a general theme, year over year, just trying to refine and polish my process as mm-hmm. much as possible, and really just echoing what you said, just trying to get better and better and more thorough with my evaluation, understanding and using all of the data mm-hmm. at my disposal and how that can supplement in-person looks and looks on synergy mm-hmm. And just using everything that I can to paint as clear a picture on a player as possible. Because I think with how the game is evolving, it would be kind of crazy to be, you know, I guess basing your evaluation solely on data or mm-hmm. solely on in-person looks and discounting data. And you kind of have to meet in the middle and find this happy medium of, you know, how to balance both getting a look at a guy at mm-hmm. the yard or on synergy, wherever. And then also what the data might be telling you. So continuing to try and learn and grow as much as I can, you know, and kind of having the mentality, as I said earlier, of just being a sponge and learning from mm-hmm. everybody has been a huge help. And then also, this one sounds simple, but, you know, looking at big leaguers and, you know, looking back and remembering maybe how they were in college or, you know, even just watching big league games myself, keeping in mind, like, how good big leaguers are.
Right, yeah.
Like, I know that sounds really simple and, you know, and whatever, but you know, and trying to ground myself when looking at a player, you know, trying not to get like too crazy high, you know, potentially mm-hmm. do a fault on a guy. Like there are only so many big leaguers in every right. draft class. So just keeping that in mind, and the biggest thing is just, you know, becoming as fluent as I can in evaluating these guys. So mm-hmm. that's a daily lesson, something I've tried to get better at every single day. And that'll continue until I'm not in baseball anymore, which hopefully won't be for a long time.
Yeah. As a good friend of the program once said, excellence is a continuous pursuit. So we'll continue trying to be as good as we can at this and learn from our mistakes and just keep improving. So excited to take some of those lessons and move them forward into 2026. And hopefully for you listeners, present the best draft product that you guys I've had. It's always a goal each year. And then for Peter, I guess it's to sign a couple big leaguers. Really cool to say that, Peter.
Yeah, no, it's wild to say and wild to think about. Who knows if it'll if/when it'll happen. All I care about is winning at the end of the day. So
yeah,
whenever it is, getting a World Series would be that's the end goal. So very much looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations to Nats fans who now have Peter on their team. It is an excellent addition. You will be missed very much, my friend. I'll miss doing these podcasts with you. But I do take some solace in the fact that I'm sure I'm going to run into you at a ballpark every now and then. Maybe we can get you south. I don't know what exactly the summer coverage is going to look like for you, if we can get you off the Cape. But I'm sure I'll run into you at the park, and we'll obviously keep in touch because now you've been a tremendous asset to BA, and can't wait to see what you do with the Nats. And I can't think of a better way to kind of sign you off here at BA than with another draft podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very fitting fitting send off. And again, I can't thank you enough, because I remember when we came up with the idea for the draft pod, it was after my first college season at BA, and you know, you nicely took me under your wing right away.
Oh, we didn't even do it your first year, man.
Yeah. And
really,
so
missed out.
You were like, hey, is there anything that, you know, you'd want to adjust going forward? And I was like, maybe we could do like a draft pod on a more regular basis. I think that would be fun. And then I guess the rest is history, but I've seriously learned so much from you, both on the evaluating side and looking at players and, you know, how to grade out tools. Like 0.0% chance I'm in this position without you. So I am endlessly thankful for that. And this has been such a blast, but we'll absolutely run into each other at the ballpark on a frequent basis. I think I'll be stationed on the Cape during the summer, cause it is the Northeast, which is nice.
Yep. Makes sense. Maybe I'll have to make a trip up there, I guess.
Exactly. I think that's what that means, but yeah, no, absolutely. I will be keeping in touch with everyone just as frequent, if not more often than I was at BA, because everyone is seriously the best. And I've been so lucky to be a part of the team.
Awesome. Well, we've been lucky to everyone, have
buy the handbook, buy the handbook, buy the directory. It's a great late Christmas gift, whatever you want, a to me from me for the baseball fan in your life. It's 900 plus in-depth reports. And I think now is one of the best times of year to subscribe, because there's a top 100 update on the horizon. All the top 30s are out. College content's coming. Draft content's coming. It's kind of ramp up season. So I encourage everyone to subscribe.
A true baseball American and a professional to the very end with a plug to close this out. Peter Flaherty, ladies and gentlemen. Peter, it's been a blast. I wish you the very best. To everyone listening to the podcast, thank you so much for hanging out with us, talking baseball, for supporting BA. Really appreciate it. And for the final time here, I guess for me and Peter specifically, I'm Carlos. He's Peter. So long, everybody.